into three parts. And so my part is just to get us headed down the same path together. And so if you haven't been around, or maybe this is your first time, we've been studying Hebrews chapter 11, and it's called the Hall of Faith. And the Hall of Faith is kind of like the Hall of Fame. And so that explains why we have some jerseys hanging up in the rafters of these great Old Testament people that did something special to get themselves into this chapter of the Bible. So today, Abraham is lit up. That means it's verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 11. We'll get there in a minute, maybe in the next segment, but there's a story from the Old Testament. There's actually a bunch of stories about Abraham. So we are going to go back to Genesis chapter 22. So there's probably a Bible in front of you. Feel free to pull out your phone. If you a Bible app, you can follow along if you want. Or you can just listen, because I'm going to tell you the story, Jeff's version, as the best that he remembers it. And you can follow along and see how close I am. But Abraham directly heard from God. And that will become evident in this story, because it says that God tested Abraham. And to start off the story, God says, Abraham, and he says, here I am. And he says, I need you to take your only son, the son that you love, your son named Isaac, and I want you to offer him as a burnt sacrifice to me. That means kill him and burn him on an altar. And you might say, wait, it's Easter. I came to church for a fun message that's supposed to be lived. Just hold on for a second. Let's see what happens. So the next day, Abraham wakes up, and he prepares for this journey. He chops some wood that will be necessary for the sacrifice. He gets a servant, a couple of servants, and a donkey, and they head off to the place that God directed them to go. It was a three-day journey to get there. Just don't forget that part. I can't explain anything. I'm only telling the story. So 3 days, he sees the spot that God told him to go to, and so he tells the servants, wait here with the donkey. My son and I are going to go up there and worship, and my son and I will return. Interesting words. And so he unloaded the wood, and he actually gave it to Isaac. Isaac was carrying the wood that would be part of his sacrifice, and Abraham took the fire and the knife, and they went on walking up onto the mountainside. And so on the way, we get a little glimpse of what Isaac was thinking. He says, Father. And Abraham says, yes, son. He goes, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? So he knew something about burnt offerings, and Abraham says, God will provide the lamb, son. We're just doing what he said. And so they arrive at that place, and he set up an altar, probably stacked up some rocks, and he put the wood on top of the altar. And then it says he tied up his son Isaac and laid him on top of the altar. And he took the knife out that he had, and as he prepared to sacrifice him, he heard an angel of the Lord from heaven cry out, Abraham, Abraham! And he says, here I am. Maybe with a different inflection than that. But he says, here I am. And the angel says, do not harm your son. We know now that you fear God and you will do anything that he asks of you. Don't lay a hand on your son. Abraham looks up. He sees that a ram has gotten stuck in the thicket by its horns. And so he went over, took the ram, laid the ram on the altar, sacrificed it to the Lord. Now, we don't get any other details about what Isaac thought of that at the time or exactly what emotions were happening. Those would be good questions that we could ask them one day, perhaps, maybe today. And that'll make more sense later. Might not say that second service. Where was I? So they went back. Abraham was obedient despite what seemed maybe like an odd request of the Lord. And the important part is that perhaps that God demonstrated the same ability, except he did let his son be sacrificed. And because his son was sacrificed, today is an important day. I just want to read you the very end of the story. It's Genesis 22, verse 15. It says, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashores. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Abraham was able to obey. We have the same opportunity today, whether we obey the words of God or not.
Greetings, CCW, and happy Resurrection Day. Jesus has risen, and by his Spirit he lives. I, of course, am Father Abraham. April Fools. Thank you for changing that slide. Yes. Are you having a good Sunday? I am here, of course, because you have heard part of my story today. Yes, part of my story that is very important, especially on this Resurrection Sunday. I'm so grateful for this handsome, eloquent young man who has told my story, and to God for capturing it in the pages of Scripture, in the book of Genesis. And then also in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, which I understand you have been studying here at CCW. The heroes of the faith. Is that my jersey? Oh, I remember when that jersey fit well. Those were the days. So honored to be in the same lineup with those heroes. Man, I could pow, hit them like the best of them. Abe Ruth, they called me. Yes. But I digress. A hero of the faith. I don't know. I was just obeying a faithful God. You see, God had been faithful all of my days. Ever since I was a young man, he had led me. I had made mistakes. I am a sinner just like you, but God was with me and faithful my entire life long. He led my family and I out of the land of Ur. He protected us and he guided us. He was always there for us. God indeed is faithful. In fact, it was God who had promised us a son, and by 100 years old, I had given up hope, and my wife, Sarah, 90 years old and barren, there was no way, it was impossible, but God is faithful. He gave us a son, and we named him Isaac. So, who was I that when God demanded my son back to him as an offering, that I might question his faithfulness? But I did question it. Oh, that fateful day, a very difficult decision, a test of faith indeed. As Isaac and I prepared for the journey, we walked up to the mountain of Moriah that day, his hands tied together. I saw his face, and we walked up to the altar that we had built, and he laid down so compliant on the altar to be offered back to God. Oh, I will never forget that day. That day as he lay there and looked in my eyes as I raised my knife to offer him to God and to slay him, all I could think was, God, his blood is on your hands. You are faithful. You must provide. And I raised my knife. His blood is on your hands. His promise is in this young man, my son, my only son. Your word is at stake. Your promise is at stake. And as I raised my knife, I heard the words, no, wait. Yes, God is faithful. He is faithful. What a test that day. A test of faith and a test of my priorities. You see, Isaac was my all. He was everything to me. Perhaps I loved him too much. I had waited 100 years for my son, my legacy, my bloodline, my boy. I must ask you today, what are you holding on to? What is the one thing that if God were to ask you to give up for him that you would hold on to with dear life? For me, it was Isaac. For you, perhaps, your time. Maybe your precious, precious money. Maybe a gift or a talent or an ability that you could be using to serve the Almighty God. Perhaps a secret sin that needs to be on the altar offered to God once and for all and forever. Perhaps a doubt or a dream, perhaps a fear or your pride. What is your Isaac? You see, I knew God would provide that day. I just did not know how. I knew he was faithful. I just did not know what he was going to do to show his faithfulness. I even believed that he might raise my son Isaac from the dead. I don't know where I heard that from. I don't know where I got that idea. But I had told my servants to wait at the bottom of the mountain of Moriah with the donkey because we'll be back. And back we came. Isaac and I down the mountain for a great celebration, for my son was alive. God is faithful. But nothing like the celebration that we have today. Because you know, thousands of years later, that God's son is alive, that he has risen from the grave. Do you see the similarities in our story? Do you see a father, myself, Abraham, offering his son to God? God, the Father, offering his son for all of us that we might live forever. Do you see the similarity as we built that altar of wood and I laid my son? That God himself would give his one and only son on a cross of wood. That wonderful, wonderful cross. Yes. That is our story. God provides on that wonderful, wonderful cross.
All right, good morning. Happy Easter. Better yet, as was mentioned, happy Resurrection Sunday. We serve a risen Savior. He is no longer in a tomb. We're going to talk about that for a minute. But, man, I just feel like a God energy in this room this morning. I don't know if it's Easter or the fact we're singing some great tunes. This has been a fun morning so far. We've got more songs to come. We've heard some great messages. Jeff told a great story of this one story of Abraham and his son Isaac. Then my buddy Abraham came up and talked about the faith that he had. And doesn't he look awfully familiar? I mean, that guy looks like a better looking version of this guy I get to hang out with around here. But anyway, I want to kind of do the parallels here. I want to talk about how God provides for us. And so you look at this story of Abraham and Isaac, and I don't want to go too much into what the guys have already said. But then we sit here today celebrating a very similar story, one that was even bigger than that one. So I want to go back to this Genesis chapter 22. You guys might already still be there. If not, it's not a big deal. I'm just going to read it. But there's some neat parallels, and we touched on a couple of them. So in 22 verse 2, God says to his son, God says to Abraham, he says, take your son, your only son, whom you love. Does that sound like a verse we know well here in American culture today? John 3:16, right? I'm going to break this into two sections. So it says, for God loved his only son. Now imagine that. God asked me to sacrifice your only son. I'm going to come back to that in a second. Down in verse 4, it says, on the third day. So they take this trip, as Jeff mentioned. It takes 3 days to get there. Church, how long was Jesus in the grave? 3 days. A little similarity there? And there's nothing ironic in God's Bible. It's all done by purpose. Let's go down to verse 6. Abraham took wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. Now, Abraham just came out and mentioned the fact that Jesus, in the same way, took a wooden cross up to the hill to be crucified for the sacrifice. Another similarity. One more. Isaac asks his dad, as they're heading up the hill, he says, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham answers his son, he says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Now, as they finish up the story, the other two guys, you mentioned that he found a ram in the thicket. 2,000-some years later, we're actually celebrating that day because God did provide the lamb. If you remember, John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way, was talking down by the river, and he's baptizing people, and he's teaching, and he's this crazy-looking guy, and everybody's listening. There's hundreds of people, thousands of people there listening to him. And all of a sudden, he says, stop, look, the Lamb of God who comes to take away our sins. Look. I mean, there's thousands of people here. Andrew, Simon, stop playing in the mud. You guys, stop throwing rocks. Look, the Lamb of God. And so that promise was made 2,000 years later. See, Abraham knew that God would provide. He had, like my buddy Joe, who looked like Abraham, excuse me, mentioned that God is a provider. He's been providing for us since day one. Just do this for a minute. It's a gift from God that he provided for us. The meal you ate this morning, or if you didn't eat yet, like some of us early risers, maybe you're going to eat later. That's provided from God. God provides our clothes. And if you're born in this country, he provided you with that blessing already. But bigger than that, he provided the sacrifice. He knew there was going to be a sacrifice needed because we walked away from him. We sinned. And only he could provide that sacrifice. And he knew that. So God takes his only son. He spared Abraham the sting of having to sacrifice his only son. But it's funny that he did not spare himself that same sting. So he takes his only son, wraps him in flesh. So that means he comes down to earth, gets sick, gets hungry, gets tired, gets blisters on his feet and bruises from the daily travels. And he gets tempted the same way you and I do. Every day. No sin is uncommon to man, Scripture says. But yet he never sins. Then at the end of his life, he gets mocked and spit on and beaten and whipped. They press a crown of thorns into his head, and he has to drag his own cross up a hill to be sacrificed. Because God provided that. Then they nail him to this tree and crucify him for our sins. We're going to celebrate that here in a minute, but it doesn't stop there. The beauty of God's sacrifice and God's provision, it just doesn't stop there. You see, there was a third day. And on that third day, he rose. And that's what we celebrate here today. God is risen. Jesus is risen. God in flesh rose from the dead, conquering sin, conquering temptation, conquering shame. One day we're not going to have any of those things. And the enemy has an end date, and it's picked out already. And here we are with a choice. And we're going to celebrate that with communion here in a minute. But I want to read my favorite of the four gospel accounts of that third day, the day we celebrate. There comes the second half of John 3:16. It says that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. And so let me read this third day that makes all this possible. So I'm going to read Matthew 28, verse 1. It says, after the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. It's an interesting story there. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a God that died for our sins. He went through the same things we go through times 10. Went through the same temptations. Did the same things we went through. And died for our sins. But the best part is we celebrate the fact that he rose from the dead on day 3. Conquering all that stuff. And now we have an ability to talk to God and just call him Dad. We have an ability to one day see Jesus face to face. Are you looking forward to that day? Are you looking forward to that day? Because you should. And if you don't, I want to talk to you after this. And if you're not sure about that, there's somebody right next to you in your pew. I'm sure would love to talk to you about that. Because it means everything. Life here is like this long. And eternity is so much longer than that. So are you excited about eternity? Man, I am too, because of this day right here. Happy Resurrection Day. As the men come forward and pass out the emblems of communion, I want you to hold them. We're going to take them together as a family, just like the disciples did in the upper room on the last day before he died. And remember the sacrifice that God provided that we get to celebrate today. Passage after Abraham had saw all that he saw, after God spared him the sting of feeling his own son died, he named that place, the Lord will provide. And we know that today, that the Lord will provide. And we're going to celebrate that here together. Will you guys pray with me for a minute? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are a provider. You provide everything we look at, everything we see, everything we need, everything. You provide the sacrifice for us to bring us back into a relationship with you. More importantly, Father, you provided the victory over death. You provided a way home. And I'm so thankful for that, Father. We just love you so much. In Jesus' precious, mighty, matchless name, amen. The bread represents Jesus' broken body, the sacrifice for our sins. And the blood represents the victory over death. God bless you guys. Happy Easter.